Blog Talk Radio.
Go now. Let us reason together. Question everything. Welcome to Sacerdotal Talk Radio. A show on God, faith, the Catholic Church, science, philosophy, reason, and other worldly issues. Join the host as he tackles today's errors and refutes the fallacies of atheism and misconceptions on God, the Catholic Church, and science. And now here is your host, Sacerdotus.
Hello, welcome to Sacerdotus Radio. On today's show, I'm going to speak on something that we should celebrate all throughout the world, which is historic. And what I'm referring to is the accomplishment of the technology of man, of science, in regards to space exploration. We are making history. NASA has accomplished a 9-10 year long mission of reaching Pluto, which is classified now as a dwarf planet, and has taken some wonderful pictures of it. So, for the first time, we are seeing the so-called dwarf planet, and its moon Charon, and other moons that surround it. It has 5 in total, in high definition. Now, before, Pluto was discovered in the 1930s, and technology there wasn't obviously what we have today. So the images that we have of Pluto in the 1930s was just a dot. It looked pretty much like a star, like we see stars today in the sky when we look up into the sky and the night sky. That's pretty much how Pluto looked. Then eventually in the 1990s, when we had the Hubble telescope, we got some images of Pluto, and they were pixelated, because Pluto is so far away, it's billions of miles away, that light takes an awful long time to reach Earth. As a matter of fact, it's so far away from the sunlight that the sun itself, our sun, our star, from the viewpoint of Pluto, looks like a star that we see in the sky. That's how far away it is. It doesn't look like the nice bright yellow thing we see in the sky in the morning or during the day. It looks like a star from Pluto, our sun, despite being in the solar system. That's how far this planetary body is. So, taking that into consideration, the technology, the Hubble telescope at the time, photographed Pluto, and all we could see was this pixelation, because that was the technology at the time. Well, now that has changed. We now have better photographs of the planet, and can actually see details on the surface, which is cool, in my opinion. It's awesome. So thanks to NASA's probe, which is called New Horizons, we can see these images and also have the data, which will take about 2 years or a year and a half or so to reach us, all the data that it has collected as it flew by. Now, this probe was launched in January 19th, 2006. So it was a while ago that it was launched. And New Horizons has been getting closer and closer. It has been traveling thousands of miles a second, which is pretty fast. But despite traveling at that speed, it still took 9.5 or so years to get to Pluto. And what it did was that it swung by Pluto. It didn't go into Pluto. It didn't land on Pluto, unfortunately, but possibly in the future NASA will develop some kind of probe that will do that. But in the meantime, we have enough information so far, God willing, if the data gets here and is not corrupted and whatnot, or nothing interferes with it, and we will learn more about this dwarf planet. Now, New Horizons is traveling over there, and as a matter of fact, when it flew by Pluto, within a couple hours it was already 1 million miles away from it. That's how fast it was flying by. roughly around 40,000-50,000 miles per hour when it reached Pluto. And when it got to its closest point, it was about 6,300 miles from Pluto, which would be the equivalent of using Google Map to look at the island of Manhattan and zoom on it. So we were able to get that kind of resolution in regards to the images of the surface of the planet. Now, the New Horizons probe is about the size of a piano and weighs a ton. So this is not something that's light or small. It's relatively small compared to other things that we have sent into space. But it's pretty heavy. But again, in zero gravity, it's pretty much featherweight. So based on the images that we got, we did confirm that Pluto is in fact small, but it's actually bigger than what astronomers and cosmologists first believed. So it's actually much bigger than what we thought it was. Its moon, its main moon, Charon, is about 25% the size of Pluto. And as New Horizons was getting close to both structures, both bodies in space, it was able to capture some images showing the wobble, which is pretty much what happens when the gravitational forces are wrestling with each other. As Pluto is pulling on Charon and both gravitational fields are tugging at each other, it causes that wobble effect. And you could think of it as if you take a string or a jump rope or something, or a lasso, and you start swinging it around. What happens? As you start swinging it around, your arm starts to wobble because of the momentum of the force going back and forth. Well, that's pretty much what goes on when these planetary bodies interact with each other, with the gravitational pull. It causes a wobble between the main planetary structure that's pulling on the other structure. Our sun has the same effect due to the planets that is pulling around with its gravitational pull. So when the planets in the solar system, the 8 planets and the 9th dwarf planet Pluto, revolve around the sun, it causes the sun to wobble because of the gravitational pull. So we were able to capture that with Pluto wobbling as Charon was pulling, as it was being pulled by Pluto. Charon was being pulled by Pluto. I can't get the words out, but as Charon is being pulled by the gravitational force of Pluto, and the mass of it is causing Pluto to wobble. So it was pretty cool to capture that on image, high definition, as a matter of fact. Pretty cool to capture that. And so far, Pluto looks, it has multiple colors, mainly tannish, grayish, you could see ice on it, and so forth. So we actually got to see some color in it, and some parts of it looks reddish like Mars. Whereas for nearly 80 years, we thought that the planet was like the moon, grayish. But in reality, it's actually different colors, different hues and whatnot, showing the different compositions of the planet. So we were able to confirm those things, so that's pretty cool about that. And we also could see some complex geological features, mountains and things like that, which is interesting because it shows that these structures are relatively new. They are roughly around millions of years old, which tells us that there's actually geological activity going on in the planet. There's things going on under the structure of the crust that's causing these ridges and mountain looking things made of ice. So we could tell by the images that there's actually, the planet is alive. It's not just a ball of rock hovering somewhere out there, and in the farther reaches of the solar system. We can actually tell that there's actually some geological happenings within the planet, which is pretty cool. And again, the question whether life exists there, we have no clue yet until the data comes in and then eventually until we're able to land something on the surface. But there may be life underneath the planet surface or within the ice. We do not know. There might be bacteria, single cell organisms, whatnot, on the surface in the ice that evolved to survive those harsh conditions. So we cannot celebrate yet that we discovered life, but there's always the possibility that there might be life as we know it, or there might be life as we may not know it that's there and we just haven't noticed it. But God willing, we will get to that point to figure these things out, hopefully, so it will not be a mystery. And because to be honest, I mean, you know, speaking from a scientific point of view, not setting religion aside, but just speaking from a scientific point of view, it does pretty suck to know that so far we are the only living things in the universe as we know it, and that including the non-human animals and bacteria and other plant life that exists here on the planet Earth. It would be cool if we found out that there is actually other planets out there, or are other planets out there with life similar to ours. I mean, that would be amazing to discover, but chances are they probably are, because the universe is just too huge not to have more cases of life somewhere else out there. But then again, what is life? Biologists do not have a solid definition. We do not know exactly what life is, because nature has surprised us so many times in regards to what life is. But as it stands, we are so far the only structure in the universe with life. And I mean, to me that sounds a bit boring or sad, or I don't know, it feels like we're isolated. We have all this out there and we're just the only one. I mean, I don't know. Unfortunately, you know, God has not revealed anything to the church or to us or anybody of whether or not he did create life out there. I mean, we just know the angels and so forth that we learn from scripture and tradition. But other than that, as far as physical beings like ourselves out there, or animals like we have on Earth, non-human animals or plant life, I mean, we have no clue whether that is in fact existing somewhere out there in the universe. But time will tell if we could finally confirm whether or not we are the only living conscious things in this universe. And but at least we got some nice images of Pluto that open the possibility that maybe we may find something, at least maybe something different, completely new in regards to life and whatnot. Now, the planet Pluto, the dwarf planet Pluto, and I still call Pluto a planet. I mean, I don't care what Neil deGrasse Tyson says, but I still consider Pluto a planet despite the size. I mean, technically, the definition of a planet is an astronomical body that revolves around a star. So some have suggested that Pluto is a moon, but we haven't found evidence that Pluto's orbiting something else. As we know, Pluto is orbiting the sun, and it every couple of hundreds, thousands of years or so, I can't remember the exact number, Pluto goes into the orbit of Uranus and then it comes back out. That's only the only variation that we have noticed so far in regards to how the planets orbit the sun. But today we do not know whether Pluto is a moon, or there's no evidence, solid evidence, showing that Pluto is a satellite or moon that's orbiting another planet, a larger planet, maybe a gas giant or something. So, for the moment, I personally consider Pluto a planet, even though it's small. It's pretty much a little bit half the size of the United States. That's how wide it is. And it's smaller than our own moon, but again, our moon orbits Earth, and Pluto does not orbit anything else so far that we can see. And we just flew by it with New Horizons, and we did not see any other huge planet out there that's pulling on Pluto or whatnot. So we still have to figure that out. And again, what really determines a planet? If we are to believe that a planet orbits a sun, a star, then technically Pluto is a planet. That's why we're calling it a dwarf planet, because it's really tiny. But nevertheless, it is a planet because it orbits the star, a sun. Then when you bring up the whole notion of rogue planets, which are planets that have broken off their gravitational pull from their star, and this happens when a star goes supernova and it eventually collapses, becoming a white dwarf. And since the star becomes weaker, the gravitational pull becomes weaker, so any planets farther away will lose the grip of the star and will go flying off, so to speak. And we call these rogue planets. They are out there wandering the universe and going in the trajectory where they were at the point where they were released. So they start traveling that trajectory and will go in that trajectory until they hit another structure, a star, and get pulverized, or another planet and whatnot. It would just keep floating out there, flying into whatever else is out there that we are not able to see or detect at the moment. So then the question arises, are these planets planets? Because they broke off from their gravitational pull from their star, because the star, for whatever reason, lost the gravitational connection with the planet, or it went supernova and it got weaker and the planet just flew off. So are we going to call those planets or change the name? So I mean, there's a lot that we have to think about that regarding what a planet really is. But as it stands, Pluto is orbiting the star, the sun, our sun, and so we are calling it now a dwarf planet, because of the size. Now, as Pluto was photographed, one of the things that was, you know, funny is that there's a structure towards the south of the planet that looks like a heart. And it genuinely does look like a heart. It's very interesting. Then when you look at it from another angle, it's funny because it actually looks like Pluto the dog from Disney, Mickey Mouse's pet. So you look at it from a different angle, this heart structure looks like Pluto the dog, which is ironic. And I got a kick out of seeing the images of the planet and how some people superimposed a photograph of the cartoon dog Pluto on the planet's surface to show, to give aid, visual aid, to viewers, so they can see what people mean about seeing Pluto's face on the planet Pluto. So I found that interesting, also cool, and I'm sure it's a good way to teach children about the planet Pluto by making it fun that way and whatnot. So this is an exciting time for humanity, I believe. I mean, yes, we spent a lot of millions of dollars out there to make this craft and send it out there, but I mean, that money will eventually come back. People were paid to build it, the materials were paid for in order to build it and so forth, and that money didn't just disappear. These people are going to spend it again. So these scientists, engineers, these companies that design the components, they are going to put that money back out into the economy by spending it. So that money is circulating, just like any money or any currency does. It gets recirculated into the system. So I wouldn't necessarily call it a waste of money. I mean, we learned a lot with this craft. Granted, it had it crashed somewhere or missed Pluto completely, then yes, that would have sucked, for lack of a better word. But luckily, thank God, everything went well, and we got the images and the data that we wanted to get. So, and the money will eventually go back and circulate into the whole economy. So we shouldn't have any problem with that sense. So it's interesting, the thing that we learned so far, Pluto, and what we can learn from the data that's expected to come in within a 2.5 year, a year and a half period. So again, some people have speculated that Pluto may be the moon of a larger planet, but we haven't seen anything yet, any evidence of that. So we're not sure, but as it looks based on the images that New Horizons sent, it looks like Pluto is not influenced by any of the larger structure out there. Some people have speculated that there's a planet X out there, or whatever. We have not found it yet or seen it yet. So we have to wait and see until the data comes in to see if there is in fact anything out there or any changes to Pluto's orbit that may be subtle, that might indicate a larger structure that's tugging on it that is still not visible or whatnot. We still have to wait for the data to come in. So for now, we know that Pluto is within the Kuiper belt, I should say the Kuiper belt, which is a collection of belt, they call it a belt, but it's a collection of ring because it orbits the sun, of icy bodies, comets, and asteroids, and things like that. And some astronomers, planetary scientists, and so forth believe that Pluto may be one of those icy objects out there. But again, as it looks, Pluto is just by itself there. Well, of course, with its five satellites, its five moons. So most likely it's not part of this Kuiper belt. It may have escaped it and gotten caught in this specific orbit, but we do not know yet. So at this point, we could just speculate about that in regards to whether or not Pluto was part of the Kuiper belt, and if it did escape a planet that may be out there, or maybe the Kuiper belt was a planet that dissolved and did not form well, and Pluto happened to be one of its moons that escaped. We still do not know yet. It's too early to tell. We still have to get the data and so forth in order to really come to a conclusion or posit a hypothesis regarding that. So the images of Pluto are amazing. They look great. I advise you to go on Google and just look them up. If you have not seen them yourself, they are great to look at. And again, the planet was reached on July 14th, a couple of days ago, and we got some great images, and more information is coming. It's not the end of it. We are still going to get a lot more information, so we just have to wait and see. And scientists around the world were excited. Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson, he even had a party at the Hayden Planetarium in Manhattan, which is a place I have loved since I was in elementary school. It was great. I remember I was in elementary school, first grade, second grade, and they took us to the Hayden Planetarium. And I went with my mom, and I remember seeing all the planets and all the stuff there, and they even went to see the space show where we sit in the room, and then the whole sky is a projection there of the universe, and it's just black in the room, solid black, pitch black, and it feels like you're floating in outer space. It's just an amazing experience, and I recommend anybody, if you're in New York, to go visit the Hayden Planetarium. It's amazing. It's an amazing experience there, and I have the luxury of being able to go again with my nephew when he went on a trip about a year ago, I believe. Yes, a year ago. And I was in New York, and I was able to accompany him to his church, to the Haiti Planetarium, and it just brought back a lot of nostalgia. I got teary-eyed. Just remember myself at his age, maybe a little bit younger, going to the planetarium for the first time with my mom and just seeing the show and the display there and the planet Venus. I remember it like it was yesterday, still vivid in my head. And I believe Neil deGrasse Tyson had a similar experience. He fell in love with the planetarium when he was a kid, and that inspired him to study astronomy and astrophysics and whatnot. And similarly with me, it inspired me to study the sciences, astronomy, physics, and so forth. Because it's just amazing. Space has always been something. I mean, we see it when the sun goes down, so to speak, because the sun doesn't actually move. But for the sake of language, when it's nighttime, we see all these stars, and we have to wonder what's out there. And it's just it's like a splinter in the brain. We want to know what's out there, and it sucks that we're stuck here. We don't have the technology to go out there really far and visit these things out there, these stars and all these amazing things. So, you know, as a kid going to the planetarium, it's just your imagination, everything just blows up seeing that display. And again, I recommend it to anyone listening. You have kids, take them to the planetarium. It's an amazing experience, and you will get a lot out of it. It's worth it. So anyhow, Tyson had a party there, and Bill Nye, the science guy, also gathered with scientists at the planetary center, and they celebrated the flyby of New Horizons. And I myself didn't get any sleep that day. I was busy monitoring NASA's site and different accounts on Twitter, the New Horizons account, I should say. I was busy monitoring all those things just to learn what's going on. And once it happened, it was just so amazing. It was a wonderful time, in my opinion. And so far, the United States of America is the only nation to have visited every known planet in the solar system. So go USA, and that makes me proud as an American. But of course, this celebration also includes the rest of the world, because it's not like America is going to hog everything. This is an accomplishment for the entire human race, and we all should celebrate. And again, I advise you to go and look at Pluto, the images that we got from New Horizons. You won't be disappointed. I mean, it's amazing. The images, the high definition that we images that we got from New Horizons, and the information that we're going to get soon. So, thank you for listening to this science orientating program. God bless and Mary keep, and let's continue looking up, like Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson says.